FM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's Vice President Harris's night tonight at the Democratic National Convention. She will accept the nomination as standard bearer, a night after running mate Tim Walz accepted the vice presidential nomination. Looks like Robert F. Kennedy is getting out of the race.
Trump could soon have a new supporter. Multiple sources tell ABC News that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. plans to abandon his presidential campaign and endorse Trump as early as this week, but that endorsement would come with a price. Insiders say he would require a position in a Trump administration. Kennedy reached out to both campaigns with the same offer. Polls show Trump would not benefit from all Kennedy voters.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. A French Navy destroyer rescued 29 crew members from an oil tanker, the Sunyan, that came under repeated attack in the Red Sea. The warship also destroyed a boat that was hauling bomb-carrying drones that was in the area. Canada's two major freight railroads have locked out their employees in a contract dispute. This is ABC News. Pop star Taylor Swift speaking out for the first time about the terror plot that spurred cancellation of her Vienna shows earlier this month.
In a lengthy post on Instagram about the end of the European leg of her Eras tour, Taylor Swift says that having those shows canceled was devastating, and the reason for the cancellations filled her with a new sense of fear and a tremendous amount of guilt because so many people had planned on attending those shows. She says the reason she didn't speak out until now is that she still had shows left to do in London, and she didn't want to say anything that might provoke those that would harm her fans. Silence, she says, was actually showing restraint. Her priority was finishing the European tour safely, and she's relieved to say they did that. Jason Athenson, ABC News. Hollywood.
Oxford, Mississippi, home to the University of Mississippi, temporarily closed a street on Wednesday when a beer truck dropped dozens of cases. Police took to social media to urge residents to use other routes and added, no, you cannot come help clean up. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
At Denny's Jewelers, we believe hugs never get old.
To make sure your next gift purchase is deserving of a big old hug, join our Denny's Cares a Little More list.
We help you choose what pieces of jewelry are must-haves, so your partner knows exactly what you like.
Then we help make those wishes come true.
Stop by and wrap your arms around the Denny's Cares a Little More list.
And enjoy the hug.
I'm Julie Bowen for the March of Dimes, asking you to help save premature babies. As a mother of three healthy boys, it makes me sad to think that more than a million babies around the world die every year because they're born too soon, and that our country has one of the highest rates of infant death of any developed country. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com to find out how you can make a difference in your community and around the world.
Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
I'm sorry, White Sox. I am fascinated by how horrendous this baseball team is. How do you lose 20 Major League Baseball games in a row? How do you not win one by accident? How do you have a season where you have a 14-game losing streak and a 20-game losing streak both in the same year? The most depressing stat is they would still have the worst win percentage in baseball even if you erased both of those losing streaks.
The Zone.
Well, good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm glad that you're making the Midwest Farm Report a part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Stubecker, and here at the Midwest Farm Report, we try to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture. Today, for example, we're hearing more about how, just like the weather has been impacting our farmers, it's also been impacting our honeybees. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, will have weather details on the way as well. And Wisconsin will be showing off its dairy goat heritage this fall as the American Dairy Goat Association National Convention is coming to Lake Geneva. Plus, we'll get an in-depth look into what's happening with our dairy markets as we visit with broker analyst Matt Tranel. All of these details are yet to come.
Here comes Labor Day weekend, that last gasp of summer. For me, it's time to amp up the grilling experience. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage, located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrunner Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturdays, 9 until 1, and open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Online, BavariaSausage.com. Don't forget, check out their Facebook page as well, and know that they are working on a fantastic new website they should unveil pretty soon. Tell you what, in Wisconsin, we grill year-round, and now with the football season on the horizon, you want to make sure that you're changing up your flavors on that grill from time to time. How about taking a look at the new Cajun brat available at Bavaria Sausage? Don't forget, we've got the tried and true red lager brat. Whatever flavor you're looking for, Bavaria Sausage has something you're going to like. Again, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, and always open at BavariaSausage.com. Joining me now, Samantha Brantner, DeKalb Technical Agronomist in Wisconsin, to share research by Bayer Crop Science to combat top plant diseases, including tar spot.
Yeah, our Bayer research teams are working, you know, really to better meet the agronomic needs that our customers, you know, are needing and are facing here today. Our product pipeline investment leads the seed and crop protection industry by a 2-to-1 margin.
What progress are you seeing?
So our breeders are really working on identifying new genetic combinations with tolerance to, you know, specifically tar spot, but also other diseases by using our precision breeding strategy. And we expect that this capability is really going to be able to reduce our one breeding cycle from 6 years to just 4 months.
Thanks, Samantha. To learn more, visit DeKalb.com. Always read and follow IRM where applicable. Grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Some of the hardest working little animals out there we see making honey. This is Joe Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And I like to catch up with some beekeepers and those honey producers. And I've got Jonathan Wagterman. He's on the executive board for the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association. From this year to last year, the weather has definitely been different. Have you seen anything out there that makes any changes with those little worker bees and making our honey?
The weather's been a little bit of a challenge, just like a lot of other egg producers in the state. The cold weather that we had in May and the moisture that we got in June, the bees were out doing as much work as they could, but as far as bringing nectar in from the flowers weren't producing as much as they would normally with regular temperatures and a little less rain.
So those little workers had to work a little harder. What do you think is going to be the quality this year with the change in the weather?
Well, the quality should be similar to past years. You might see maybe a color difference in the honey depending on the rest of the season. A lot of the beekeepers that we've talked to are kind of in the same boat as we are here in the Eau Claire area. They made a little bit of honey early, and then it shut off. And then around the 1st of July, it started picking up again with that warm weather that we had there for about 10 days. But we're getting on the back end of the honey flow. So the later honey that usually comes into the hives will be a little darker colored.
What about your pests or challenges out there? Are those mites getting under control?
As far as we are aware, they are. We've been doing testing every month on our hives, and everything is good in our operation. But that could be something that definitely can get out of control, especially as we get here later in the summer. With the beekeepers wanting to leave the honey supers on longer, that could pose a problem with the varroa mite populations increasing, and things could potentially get out of hand. So there is a balancing act. If the beekeepers are watching what's going on in their hives, they can take that later honey instead of leaving it for the bees and then doing their mite treatments. But it's going to be case-by-case scenario, but it's definitely something that could be an issue this year.
And how do you take care of the mites once they get into your hives or into your system?
There's multiple products that are approved that the beekeepers can use. We have a rotation that we apply. Generally speaking, it's after the honey supers are pulled off, and then we do oxalic acid treatments in the fall and winter months. And then there's Apivar treatment that we use in the spring months before the honey super goes on. With us going down south in the winter, we have a lot more options for controlling the varroa mite, but we also have a higher risk of it getting out of hand because of the longer brood rearing season that we encounter going south.
Are there any other challenges this year in those hives and the health of them?
Well, one of the things talking with the Wisconsin beekeepers is there is it seems as there was more bear damage in June, and I think that has something to do with the weather. Also, the black bears, you know, they kind of like to get into the boxes to, you know, rob the honey. But ultimately, in the spring months, they're really after the brood and the larva that's in the boxes, and they can smell that. And so that's something that they like to, you know, get into the bees and get a snack. So this spring, the way it was, I think with them having issues finding what they normally eat, they were, you know, taking the route to getting into some beehives. So that's been a challenge this year for some Wisconsin beekeepers.
And we're visiting with John Logterman of Logterman Honey and part of the executive board for the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association. Let's talk a little bit about any state policies or federal policies that are coming to mind right now.
There's a couple things that the Wisconsin honey producers are working on. One of them is through with the black bear, with the DNR and whatnot, to see about getting compensation for bear damages. We do have a program in the state where commercial beekeepers can apply for a bear fence to keep the bears out. With that, though, that doesn't always work, and the hives get damaged, and there's a significant loss on a beehive with equipment, and depending on how much honey's on there, you can get into hundreds and hundreds of dollars in loss. So it's something that we're working on a policy standpoint to see about if there's a way for compensation for those losses on that. On the national level, the Farm Bill just came out of the Ag Committee in May. The national level promoting the continuation of the ELAP program for honeybees and then getting the ARS labs fully funded. That's been an issue where the bee labs haven't been fully funded in years, and so that's something that we're pushing on to see if we can get that through on the Farm Bill.
And these bee labs, what goes on in a bee lab? Because I've never really learned much about those.
Every lab kind of has their own thing depending on what the individual researcher's interest is. It could be bee nutrition, mite control, habitat. There's research on pollinator habitat and those type of things, that anything to do with bee-related issues, those take place at those labs.
And then we're going to bring up the former No Mow May is called what now? You're working with the Minnesota honey producers on this one?
Well, the Minnesota Bee Squad came out with the idea of No Mow May, but at the same time, now that we recognize that pollinator habitat or the pollinators need habitat throughout the whole summer, maybe we should work on the new slogan of Slow Mow Summer. Just let that grass get a little longer in the yard, and so the pollinators have something for them to collect nectar and pollen off of through the whole season.
And moving on back to Logstrom and Honey, how many hives do you have out there? And how much honey do you produce on an average year?
We're just under 1,600 colonies this year. And I guess on an average standpoint, if we can be between 60 and 70 pounds across the whole our whole area, that's kind of what we're shooting for.
And you're talking about your area up here in the Eau Claire area, but you do travel other places, and those bees get quite a workout. So where else do you go?
Yeah, so we're up here in the summer, and then around the 1st of November, we head down to South Mississippi, and then the bees are there, wintered there until the 1st of February, and then they travel to California to pollinate the almond crop. And then from there, they go back to Mississippi, and we do spring work. And then we're generally back up here around the 1st of May to set the bees out for honey production.
Sounds like they get a lot of miles on them. How long will a bee typically last within the hive when it's used basically year-round?
So the bees are always replacing themselves, essentially. But the longest living bee will be what's called a winter bee. The hive knows to change over and feed them differently and whatnot. So the last brood cycles, the September or October bees, those, if you're wintering in Wisconsin, those are your ones that stay in the hive the whole time until spring when they can start reproducing. Now, with us going down south, that turnover is a little bit shorter. Those bees don't need to live that long, but that's the longest living one. And in the summer, you know, if you have a bee that lives 50 days, that's probably a good lifespan where we're getting right now. They just literally fly off their wings. You know, their whole job is in and out, and just, you know, gathering food to keep the hive alive and successful.
And keeping that sweet honey flowing with those little workers. And that was John Logterman of Logterman Honey, and he's also on the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association Executive Board. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Oakland.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Join us on our next show for the last day of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, live with Trygve Olson and more. It's going to be a party. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
And one fun tradition that you may not have heard of is called tracking the August fogs, which are believed to predict the winter weather ahead. Not that we want to be pushing it too far into the winter, but according to folklore, if August is filled with foggy mornings, it might signal a snowy winter to come. While modern meteorology offers more precise forecasts, this old adage serves as a reminder of how closely ag and weather are intertwined, influencing everything from planting schedules to harvest outcomes. So speaking of those more precise forecasts, it's time for our ag weather update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, have you heard of tracking the August fogs, or are there any fog in the forecast, perhaps?
Oh, there'll be some fog in the forecast. Tracking August fog, I'm not up on. I know in spring, I've got some friends of the more mature list that follow that spring fog and say there'll be a snow like 90 days later. A lot of times that does work out. I bet here in August it probably works out, too, if we keep track of it. We do have a little patchy fog because of high pressure. Not much breeze at night, so that moist air really settles in, and that leaves fog, especially in western and northwest Wisconsin this morning. That's an area where we're going to watch a cool front try and approach out of the northwest. That cool front's still out around the far western edge of the Dakotas. But there's rain in northeast North Dakota, south central parts of Nebraska, into central Kansas this morning. I expect that front will make a half-hearted attempt at pushing east, bring some rain to northwest Wisconsin, Eau Claire, maybe Wausau up to Tomahawk, back up into the northwest part of the state as well. But any much further east than that, not a great possibility even lining up. A few more clouds later tonight or into early Friday, that might be about the most of it. Later in the weekend, maybe Saturday night, a small chance of a little rain as very warm air will begin to settle on in. Temperatures a little above normal come Saturday, well above normal, mid and upper 80s on Sunday. Going to feel summery here to wrap up the weekend. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get to these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
Alrighty, Stu, let's hear our weather forecast.
All right, Charity, mostly sunny skies. I expect today some morning fog in the northwest, of course, and temps in the mid-70s, maybe upper 70s right along the Mississippi, and winds are going to become south today around 5. Overnight, more partly cloudy skies, and that temp falling into the mid-50s with those south breezes. There's that slight rain chance in the northwest, even late today or this evening, and by Friday, back to more mostly sunny skies. I expect some mid and upper 70s, maybe an 80 in the west, and by Saturday, mostly sunny, low 80s, south winds around 5. A slight rain chance Saturday night, mid and upper 80s Sunday, Charity. Your summer comes back in a big way.
Well, I'll take it. I'm heading out to go enjoy some concerts this weekend. So the warmer weather, the better. I mean, I like to dance a lot. I like to go have some fun. So I'll be sweating, but I'll take it because I'd rather have that than it raining on me and standing outside listening to somebody play. I've done that before, and it's not very fun. So make sure, everybody, you get out and enjoy your summer weather, as Stu mentioned. Once again, that is Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with our ag weather update on a Thursday. Be sure to let us know how your fields are looking and your crop progress by messaging our talk text line at 877-301-FARM. Stick around with us, as you never quite know what you're gonna learn next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose is again under fire, this time for attempting to undercut a citizen-run redistricting commission ballot initiative, which threatens to undo politician-drawn gerrymandered maps. Initiative organizers challenged the action in the Ohio Supreme Court August 19th. Citizens Not Politicians submitted a ballot description of the constitutional amendment after Issue 1's certification in July. But the notoriously partisan LaRose and his staff rewrote the description. Organizers said it, quote, may be the most biased, inaccurate, deceptive, and unconstitutional ballot language ever adopted by the Ohio Ballot Board. The measure proposes a 15-member citizen commission of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, none of whom can be current or former politicians or lobbyists. It also forbids redistricting for partisan advantage and requires a fully transparent process. The new initiative was proposed after multiple gerrymandered maps by legislators resulted in years of litigation. Among several misleading statements, the Secretary of State's description says it will, quote, establish a new taxpayer-funded commission of appointees required to gerrymander the boundaries of the state legislative and congressional districts, unquote. The Ohio Constitution clearly states that descriptions for ballot measures be true and impartial. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, it's Jim Schmidt and John Meinl from Meinl and the Mayor.
Join us live on location Tuesday morning, August 27th from 6 to 9. We'll broadcast from Simple Life Hospitality's Green and Gold Party House across from Lambeau Field. Even the Packer Band will be there.
Can't make it in the morning? Swing by their open house from noon till 6. Enjoy snacks, sign up for prizes, and take a tour.
Love what you see? Well, then be the first to book the house for your Green and Gold Bash before somebody else grabs it. That's Tuesday morning, August 27th, live from 6 to 9.
See you there.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's Vice President Harris's night tonight at the Democratic National Convention. She will accept the nomination as standard bearer, a night after running mate Tim Walz accepted the vice presidential nomination. Looks like Robert F. Kennedy is getting out of the race.
Trump could soon have a new supporter. Multiple sources tell ABC News that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. plans to abandon his presidential campaign and endorse Trump as early as this week, but that endorsement would come with a price. Insiders say he would require a position in a Trump administration. Kennedy reached out to both campaigns with the same offer. Polls show Trump would not benefit from all Kennedy voters.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. A French Navy destroyer rescued 29 crew members from an oil tanker, the Sunyun, that came under repeated attack in the Red Sea. The warship also destroyed a boat that was hauling bomb-carrying drones that was in the area. Canada's two major freight railroads have locked out their employees in a contract dispute. This is ABC News.
The Packers' A.J. Dillon with a neck injury. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. He's one of the Packers' most popular players, running back A.J. Dillon, revealing he suffered another neck stinger in Denver last week. He dealt with one at the end of last season. As Dillon undergoes tests, does this open the door for second-year running back Emmanuel Wilson?
You know, just controlling what I can. It's up to them in the office if they're going to keep me or let me go. But, you know, I'm just controlling what I can.
The roster cut down day next Tuesday after Saturday's final preseason game against the Ravens.
It's big. It's very big. Only because you never know if this is my last time playing for them or what. So it's very big for me.
Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up their series in St. Louis after losing 10-6 last night in extra innings. Manager Pat Murphy asked why was he ejected after arguing with the home plate umpire.
The confrontation on the field was balls and strikes in the night.
Sure was.
Golf, Max Lyons, the winner of the Wisconsin State Open in Minocqua. He finished the tournament at 16 under par. George Neiser finished second, two shots off the pace. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom. Tune in Thursday, final day of DNC coverage. Tonight is Kamala Harris's night. The Devil's Advocates will take you live to the United Center. You gotta listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 76 this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 58. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. On Saturday, partly cloudy with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
I don't want to.
But did you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. How we think about money can affect how we feel about ourselves, which is why I think it's worth reminding all of us that your net worth is not your self's worth. Your net worth, however much money you do or don't have, is not your self-worth. Money is not something to be worshipped, regardless of what the internet or social media tells us. And money is not something to be ignored. I mean, I've been there. I've not paid attention to my money. And let me tell you, that doesn't help either. Money is a tool. You can learn how to use it, how to make it work for you, how to take care of it, and how not to let it control your head or your heart through obsession or worry. We can all be good at managing our money. If I can do it, anyone can do it. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
I know they want to be. I know they want to still be exactly the thing that you just said, but they want also to have the quarterback of the passing game to take advantage when people are going to gang up on the running game. Here's the thing. I think the running game is going to be significantly improved from last year. I think they have the horses to do it, and they are so deep at running back, and the offensive line, if healthy, has moved people all camp. So I think they're going to have the running game to do it. It's can they show growth in the passing game that, you know, we saw glimpses of at times last year, specifically against LSU. To me, it's just I want to say yes. I want to say yes to all those questions. But because of last year, I'm taking that wait-and-see approach to a lot of different things for this team. But I don't necessarily think they have an identity yet. And I don't, do you think teams have, like, does a program have an identity, right? Like, that's the question. They always had one, and I don't know that Pickle's been able to establish it yet.
Tom Brady was talking yesterday. I was listening to him talk, and it was about they're not programs anymore. They're just playbooks.
What's happening in our dairy commodity markets on this Thursday? Stay around to find out as Matt Tranel, broker analyst with EverAg, will have those details in just a little bit. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning. In case you missed it earlier, today is going to be sunny with a high of 77. But now let's take a quick trip down memory lane. On August 22nd, 1961, the Wisconsin State Fair introduced a groundbreaking exhibit featuring the first ever cow to produce over 100,000 pounds of milk in a single year. This achievement highlighted the advancements in dairy farming techniques and the importance of selective breeding in boosting milk production, cementing Wisconsin's reputation as America's Dairyland. And speaking of America's Dairyland, Wisconsin is home to another dairy powerhouse. I'm talking about dairy goats. Stephanie Hoff has a story on an exciting dairy goat event that's coming up this fall.
Wisconsin dairy is going to be in the spotlight this fall. We've got World Dairy Expo in early October featuring dairy cows, but then later in the month, dairy goats will draw some attention. The American Dairy Goat Association is coming to Lake Geneva October 19th through the 25th. Anna Thompson-Hodgick joins us in studio, one of the directors for the Midwest region of the association. She has the details on the national show that will be attracting people around the globe. But first, she reminds us why America's Dairyland is also known for goat milk.
So the dairy goat industry in Wisconsin has a really fascinating history. In fact, of the club, the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association Club, traces its roots all the way back to the 1930s. And Wisconsin has always been at the forefront of the dairy goat industry. And so I think there's just a really rich heritage in our state for the dairy goat industry. And it's a heritage that has, you know, been given new life in the last 20 years in particular with the formation of these branded products. You can find goat milk in products, everything from your conventional cheeses to now in things like, you know, ice creams, gelatos. There's some exciting work going on in the creation of formula for babies. There's all kinds of different sorts of cheeses, and that, you know, not just logs of cheese these days, but everything from shredded cheeses that go on your pizza. And then there's conventional fluid milk too. And so, you know, really it is a kind of, we are a little bit at a crossroads as an industry because there's all kinds of new ideas and new products coming down the pike. Yogurt, kefir is another really growing segment of dairy goat product. So it's an exciting time.
And Wisconsin does get to show off its rich heritage this fall. They'll be hosting the National Convention of the American Dairy Goat Association. And this isn't something that happens, you know, every year. This comes around once in a long time.
Right. The last time Wisconsin hosted the National Dairy Goat Convention was in 2006 in Milwaukee. Before that, it was in 1994 in Madison. And this year. It'll be down in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, which we're very excited about because we have so many dairies, goat dairies down in that region. And so we're going to be doing a lot of work to promote those dairies. But then again, that'll bring people from all over the country and the world. In fact, we have people coming from as far away as Nepal and Germany, maybe even Australia. We're still working on that. The Netherlands. And so we're going to have some international presence for our Dairy Goat Convention. But we're also going to have lots of programming, educational programming for producers, everyone from the small hobbyist to commercial producers. That programming will run the gamut on and explore issues that are really relevant right now in the agricultural world. We have a day that's going to focus on sustainability and dairy goats. We're going to have a day that really focuses on the commercial world. And then we'll have lots of hands-on workshops as well for everything from soap making to artificial insemination of your dairy goat. It'll be a great week, and it's a whole week of programming. And then it caps off with a sale of really high-quality live animals.
Excellent. So is it the sale that's attracting the worldwide reach of folks that will be coming into Lake Geneva for this event?
We have actually had international buyers before, and so there's going to be a lot of promotion of that, and there, you know, it's going to, you know, this sale has had both has a live auctioneer, but then there's an online component. So yes, anyone from around the world could conceivably bid on an animal, but the international component, you know, we have. You know, we've had this industry has been fascinating in that, particularly in Wisconsin, that we've always had kind of international elements. Montchevrey, you know, a longtime cheesemaker in this state, the founder is from France, right? And so that kind of international element to the dairy goat presence in Wisconsin, I think, is going to essentially just carry over to our event. So.
Anna, where can people get more information on this upcoming convention?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook page right now. The Dairy Goat World, again, runs almost entirely on volunteers to do a lot of its promotional work. So we have a Facebook page and the Dairy Goat Convention. 2024 AGA Convention is if you just go onto Facebook and look it up. Later this summer is when we'll kind of have our website sort of up. That will also be under the umbrella of the American Dairy Goat Association's webpage, and so it's adga.org.
That's where you can make plans for the American Dairy Goat Association's annual convention. It's happening October 19th through the 25th at the Grand Geneva Resort in Lake Geneva. Anna Thompson-Hodgick along with us. She is the vice president of the Wisconsin Dairy Goat Association, and she's a director for the Upper Midwest region for the National Group. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is dedicated to ensuring that farmers know how their contributions are being utilized. Liza Schlintz, Farmer Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, says to achieve this, they have several communication methods in place.
We want to make sure that we're not spending tons of checkoff dollars reaching out to farmers, because that's not what our intention is. However, we certainly want our farmers to know what their dollars are going to. So every year in the fall, we submit an annual report that goes through DATCAP and then sent out to all of our dairy farmers. You're going to get a postcard in the mail. It's got a QR code on it. And at any time, you can go to wisconsindairy.org, where that annual report lives all year long. We also go to several industry events and trade shows. And we also have an email newsletter that comes out once a month. And you can also sign up for that at wisconsindairy.org.
By keeping communication channels open and accessible, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin ensures that farmers are always in the know. Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Thursday morning. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is accepting applications for their 2025 Producer-Led Watershed Protection Grants. They'll be accepting these through September 13th. These grants are awarded to producer-led groups to help support and advance producer-led conservation solutions and farmer participation in local watershed conservation efforts. Eligible groups that apply can receive up to $40,000. You can learn more about this at MidwestFarmReport.com. Now let's take a look at our markets. Cash corn is trading at 375 and three quarters, up a quarter. New crop corn is trading at 398. That's down a quarter. Cash soybeans are trading at 957 and a half. That's down 5.5 cents. And new crop beans are trading at 976 and a quarter. And that is down 5.25 cents. And wheat is trading at 522 and a quarter. And that is up 2.5 cents. And our dairy market, September Class 3 milk contract is trading at $22.59 a hundredweight. That's down 2 cents. And October milk is trading at $22.76, down 9 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at $2.28 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. 40-pound block cheese closed at $2.09 and a half, down a half. And the AA butter closed down a penny at $3.16. Coming up, we'll dive into our dairy markets with Matt Tranel from EverEgg. Stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with civic media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
They're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources. Dump those flower pots out. Don't let dog or kitty pools sit. Fill them when you're going to use them and then dump them out. Clean the gutters. Reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is on vacation, but I, Greg Bach, am your host, and I'm going to be joined by Todd Alba live in Chicago, as well as sports writer J.R. Radcliffe and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matt and Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
That came out yesterday. We saw a slight decrease in milk production in Wisconsin. What factors are you seeing contribute to this? Is there any specific regional issues at play?
There's definitely been reported tightness really throughout the Midwest in the July and also August calendar months. Part of that seems to have been some of the heat, and that wasn't just kind of like the upper Midwest, along with states such as Idaho, California, Texas, they were all dealing with heat during those specific periods of time, and most of those states did come off. Some of those states also were dealing with some bird flu issues as well, and when we look back at maybe some of the revised data that came out in Wednesday's milk production report, it'll show that during the month of June, actually, we saw some pretty major revisions. So when we look at the milk production report, for the month of July, it was pretty well within industry guesses. I know our guess was negative 0.3% on the growth rate. I know a couple of our competitors were negative 0.1% and negative 0.5%. So everybody was very, very close on the July numbers. But as I had mentioned, the big surprise actually came in the June 2024 production data. If you go back to that report a month ago, we were looking at milk production being down 0.9%. And today, or I should say in Wednesday's data, ultimately they moved that to -1.7% on the growth rate. So a pretty substantial slash, one of the biggest that we've really ever seen. And they also took cow numbers down about 15,000 head. The states that had the biggest slashes included Colorado being down 2.6% in the June report compared to the revision that came out Wednesday. Idaho was down 1.8%. Iowa was down 2.8%. Minnesota was down 1.5%. So all of those states did have confirmed cases of bird flu during the month of June. So that might have played a little bit into that. Wisconsin was also down 1.3% in that same. So that could also explain some of the shortness of milk and some of the tightness we've seen in the Midwest spot milk reports that have come out.
And you mentioned we saw that cow numbers were down, but there was also a slight decrease in production per cow in both Wisconsin and nationally. So how significant is this for our broader market?
It is creating some tightness today in the markets. Generally speaking, during the summer months, milk production does get a little bit tighter as we get into September. We do also see some budget setting happening, and we see some preparation for the holiday demand season, which is Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, the Super Bowl, things like that. So lesser milk doesn't necessarily bode well to the buy end of the spectrum, but the sellers, it's okay. It looks like it could continue for a period of time, but some different pieces that we're picking up is that production does seem to be rebounding a little bit from some of our reports in some of the states out there, such as California and South Dakota. And those are some major dairy areas. So we do have to stay cognizant of, we were short some milk here the past couple of months, but should some of our major players regain some of that milk, we can flip that a little bit. We're not going to add cow numbers substantially or very quickly, but if milk per cow does start to turn back on, we can still meet considerable amount of the demand that we have out there right now.
Transitioning now to the Global Dairy Trade Index report that came out on Tuesday, we saw some considerable gains across most of our dairy commodities, except for cheddar cheese. So why do you believe this is?
Yeah, so if you actually look into where some of the product has been going for a considerable amount of time, it hadn't really been going to China as much. But in the most recent global dairy trade, which came out Tuesday, China was actually a fairly decent player in that event. And when we look at some of the data, whole milk powder, we were up 6.8%. Skim milk powder, we were up 3.8%. Butter was up 3.3%. Our cheddar cheese, like you had mentioned, was unchanged. Ultimately, I think what we have is a situation where really the Oceania territories are in prime position to pick up some export-type orders. Oceania is pretty typically, they're a major exporting area of the world, whereas because United States product is quite a bit tighter, we've had to really focus on the domestic market there. But despite them maybe not coming along for the ride right now, Oceania's trading right about $1.94. That is actually fairly supportive of U.S. Cheese prices right where they're at for at least a period of time. It generally takes the United States 20 cents under the Oceania price in order to book exports. We're not going to be in the business of exports really anytime soon unless it's a different variety or specialty cheese. But as long as that cheese price is within 20 cents, it does become fairly supportive of U.S. product, at least for a period of time until we are able to meet some of the needs out there.
Considering both the milk production report and the GDT index report that we've been talking about, what is your outlook for dairy markets in the upcoming months? Are there any key indicators that you guys are watching for that we should also be keeping an eye on, or anything else that stood out to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're going to keep our pulse on the demand side. Ultimately, demand along the way has not been that great. It's one of the sayings that we have in-house right now is if it isn't on sale, it's not selling. So I think we have to watch milk and see if milk does rebound in any substantial way. If milk does rebound somewhat, that's going to put the buyers a little bit more at ease and maybe not necessarily have them chase the market as much. If that happens, I'm sure dairy farmers will be a little quicker on the sell end of the version on the button too. But I think what we're really looking at and focusing in on is really the first half of 2025. That's the period of time where there will be excess cheese capacity with the cheese plant coming on board down in Dodge City, Kansas, Hillmar, and then another cheese plant coming online in Q2 of 2025. So our focus remains, we're neutral to maybe a little bit optimistic, 2024 here for the next 6 weeks or so. But beyond that, you really got to start to look at your hedging hats again as more capacity shows up.
Once again, that's Matt Tranel, broker analyst with EverAg, joining us. You can reach him at ever.ag. Thanks for sticking around with me on this Thursday morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Charity Seebecker. Have a great day, everyone.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Mino and the Mayor.
We ate so much wild game. I mean, every Sunday was rabbit, partridge, fish, venison.
That's cool.
Yeah,
That
was not believable at all.
No, that wasn't. Yeah. Wow.
We did not do that.
Cool.
We did
not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
2 years into a 5-year plan to battle an invasive species, today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The spotted lanternfly is a relatively new and unwanted visitor to the United States. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, several state ag departments, and the National Plant Board have a 5-year strategy to deal with the destructive pest. Matt Travis is with the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service.
The spotted lanternfly feeds on a wide range of fruit and ornamental trees and woody trees. But they also like to feed on other varieties of crops and plants, including grapes, apples, hops, walnuts, and hardwood trees. It acts as a stressor to the grapevines, feeding on the grapevines, weakening the vine over time so that the vine, with all the other stresses, simply may not have the ability to continue to be productive.
Travis says the strategy includes efforts to control the pests, both where they are now and where they might be later.
The approach really focuses management efforts at and near high-risk pathways within satellite populations and near agricultural areas of concern in states where spotted lanternfly is found. The plan also offers great recommendations on how to build response plans, preparedness plans, and really prepare the state for the day that spotted lanternfly may show up.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we replay an interview with one of our favorite comedians, Pat McGann. And I welcome one of the most prolific actors in Hollywood, Wisconsin native Richard Reilly, who has over 400 movie credits.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. At the Democratic National